B-Pod Studios.
I guess this weekend, I guess starting on Friday, there's going to be some big nude thing. Nude, kind of nude stock is what they're calling
it. What are you talking about?
Land O'Lakes has like a nudist colony, and they're holding like nude stock.
How do you know about this?
I read about it. I know about those things. I never, you know, actually went.
Very weird sounding. Yeah. Some big nude thing happening.
Richard Levere is on the phone. And hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm fine.
Nude stock coming up this weekend?
Yes, and you have Vera on the phone, too.
Oh, hi, Vera.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Very fine, thank you. Now, we're just naked.
You're naked right now?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I guess Land O'Lakes, there's a nudist colony up there, right?
Lots of them.
But you
ours
run...
Yours is the best, though.
Yours is the best.
Yeah.
Tell us about nude stock and what the hell's going on up there this weekend.
Okay. Nude stock is 2 days of music. It's reggae and ska music. And we've got three live bands.
Three live
bands.
Nude bands.
Well, maybe they'll be nude, maybe they won't.
Because the article I read, the drummer for one of the bands was going to be a little apprehensive about having to play
the
drums.
Yeah, but he can hide behind his drums.
Oh, sure.
No problem.
Sure.
You know.
There's a nude skiffle band out of Delray Beach that is just fantastic.
Just
you should really see if you can book them.
Oh, get them on. Have them call us.
Richard, you're nude right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Vera, you're nude, aren't you?
I'm naked. Are you guys getting naked? Get your clothes
on. No. How many people do you have in your nudist colony up there in Land O'Lakes?
As many as can come here.
I mean, anybody's free to come in. You don't have to be long. You don't have to be a card-carrying member or anything?
Absolutely.
Absolutely yeah. What?
Absolutely, they can come.
Oh, anybody come. Can?
You're allowed up to 6 visits before you have to join. You can come out and try it out, see if you like it.
But how many members do you have right now?
About 165.
And what are the age groups? I mean, you got a lot of old people, a lot of loose nudies.
Oh, no, not everybody's as old as me.
No, how old are you, Richard?
I'll be 52 on Monday. Most of them, I'd
say... He's old, though.
I'm old. Most of them are in their 40s and 50s, I would say, is our average.
Really?
But, of course, there's lots of families that come out with their kids. And
oh, jeez.
In the wintertime, we have older people who come down and spend the winter.
Where the hell do you come up with this stuff?
So what do you...
where do you come up with a phrase, you got a lot of loose nudies?
Come on. Richard knows there are in-shape nudies and then there's loose nudies.
I am really trying to follow you. You start the interview off, some big nude deal going on this weekend, and then you wind up with loose nudies.
Yeah, well, how long have you guys been having this nude stock? Has this been going on for a few years, or is this the first one?
Well, this is number one. The club has been here for 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and we've been slowly building, and then... Vera just hired on as our social director, and we decided to do something a little bigger and wilder, crazier than usual.
So, and just for the record, I am not a loose nude.
Okay, good. Just
she's a rollerblader. She's in great shape.
That's what I like. If I'm going to go...
Stan don't want to see no loose nudies.
No, if I'm going to go to Nudesville, I want to see in-shape nudes.
You should be naked already. Get your clothes off. Get naked.
Now, you know, we had a local nudist group down here. And we did a show where we, you know, for a brief moment in time, got naked. And I just, there was something uneasy. We did it in the morning. And there was just something uneasy seeing a loose nude frying up bacon at the kitchen stove.
No, you have to wear an apron when you fry bacon.
So,
everybody
because it
knows
can
that.
Be, well, this woman didn't.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's a fire hazard waiting to happen.
A lot of activities. Do you go and have beach parties and barbecues and stuff like that?
Yeah, we have volleyball, water volleyball. We have a little lake here you can canoe in. Canoed. That's right.
Sure.
But don't, you know, when you get in a canoe, those aluminum seats, they get real hot.
Oh, no, you just use your towel. You lay your towel down.
I guess that's part of the deal.
We have wooden seats anyway.
If you're going to run around nude, you always got to carry a towel with you.
And Richard, and Vera, stress something here, if you might. These nudist colony, this, you know, the average listener thinks nude, sex, this is not stressing sex. This is just going out having a good time without the, you know, the cumbersome clothes on. You just have a good time with friends.
Right. It's just that you're comfortable with your body and you feel natural. And
it just feels good.
Who would want to go in a pool and then get out and sit with a sand-covered bathing suit all day? That doesn't make sense.
Sure. But, you know, the average person coming up there is not going to see people right out in the lawn having sex just because they're nude.
No, I've been waiting 7 years. Hasn't happened yet.
And you've got no problem if somebody is a loose nudie. They're welcome there, though.
Well, we're people of all sizes and shapes and ages.
Everybody's welcome.
And if something is offensive, everyone's just free to just drape a towel over
right.
somebody's
Roll
legs.
Over or use an ice cube.
There
or
you
whatever.
Go. Richard and Vera, thank you so much for coming on and spending a little time with us.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nudies. I didn't know where we were going with that. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'll tell you right now, guys, you go out, you think, oh, man, I'd love to go to a nudist college, see those chicks. Dude, ugliest women under the sun.
What are you talking about, the loose nudies?
Oh, loose nudies. You know, breasts are supposed to be chest high, not down past your navel.
Well, I mean, that's the chance you take when you go to Nudesville.
You go there and you see an old guy and he sits down in a plastic leather reclining chair and it looks like an old catcher's mitt down there. No faking. That's what goes on. And when I did it, the room had an odor about it.
I don't know. You go to different that's a whole different deal. The whole nude.
I was in
thing.
A hot tub, and when I looked down at it, somebody needed to take a skimmer to it because it had glaze.
See, that's a scene I'm not interested in. But down on South Beach, where the ladies sunbathe, I've got no problem
that's
with that.
No,
and there
that's
were
a beautiful thing,
and there's no loose nudies there.
No, Land O'Lakes.
All the nudies you got there are all nice and taut.
Yeah, up there, a lot of loose nudies. Trust me, I know this stuff. Hey, Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Who's that?
Stan and Haney.
Hey, Stan. I want to comment about that nudist camp up there. And I was up at one in Lutz, Florida. It's just north of Land O'Lakes up there.
Is that anywhere near Lutz?
Lutz, there you go. Lutz. And I've been there two times. I just was in there to do some deliveries in there.
Sure, just deliveries.
Yeah, just deliveries. And I never saw anything but a bunch of guys walking around.
Oh, sure, that too. A lot of guys go to that.
I mean, there was girls there, but they had their tops on. But the guys, they just walk around like they don't care.
I know. A lot of loose noobs. That's why the women walk around with their tops on. You don't want to see them with it off. Let's talk to you later.
All right.
Hello, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, am I really on the air?
Yes.
Okay. I just have something to say about Land O'Lakes.
Yes. The nudies up there, the loose nudes?
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm 23, and my boyfriend and I go there.
Yeah.
We go to what's called Paradise Lakes, and it is paradise.
I bet it is,
yes,
especially
it is.
With you there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you live in the area?
Yes, I live in Fort Myers.
Yeah. Why don't you come on down here and hang out with us one afternoon?
I might do that.
Yeah, I'll get a good look at you.
You should ask these men that call in what days it is that they attend and for what reason.
With the loose nudes up there?
Right.
Yeah. Because you are far from a loose nude, aren't you? You're in tip-top shape. You got a nice tight ass, no big watermelon ass.
No.
You're in good shape and you feel very free with your nudity.
That's right.
So you'd like to come down and sit in the studio nude for a day?
Nude? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind.
No, you wouldn't mind.
No, not at
all.
Well,
it's
nothing sexual, mind you. Just you're free and open with your nakedness. You just come on in and hang out nude.
That's a little different than being on the beach.
It most certainly is not. I would say it is a little bit more private in here. You don't have people boating by and walking by.
But you got to bring your own towel.
Yeah.
Well, I could.
All right, invitation's always open for you, not your boyfriend.
Okay,
bye bye.
As a man in the public eye for more than two decades, Stan has always had a way with the ladies. He's a local celebrity whose charm and style have melted women's hearts all over Southwest Florida. His secret? Self-confidence, movie star looks, and a great opening line.
Hey, baby. Nice top. Can I talk you out of it?
Get out of my face, you sick bastard!
Son of a... Hey, sugar britches. I may not be Fred Flintstone, but I could make your bedrock.
Ah!
Hey, doll. How do you like your eggs in the morning? Fertilized or unfertilized?
If you don't step back now, I will scream rape.
Ow! I'm here, baby. What are your other two wishes?
Honey, kick his ass now. Ugh.
Hey, gorgeous. If you think you'll regret it in the morning, we could sleep till afternoon.
How does this feel, you fat fuck?
Stan, I think I speak for all men of Southwest Florida. You are someone we could all look up to and in some way envy. You are one smooth customer.
Are you planning anything special?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Faye. I was wondering how we were going to get into this little Fespic epic, one that's guaranteed to set radio back a good 10 years. A little music.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as an Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon.
Big winner. But realistically speaking, the odds are overwhelmingly against you. Thanks for listening to the Stan and Haney Show on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody.
Should we say anything? Or?
Rob, do you know that the screen is like that? Do you know that the...
I don't know if it's just the screen or if it's the program. program's fine on my end. It might be the screen. Let me disconnect and reconnect.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Then that's no big deal.
It is disturbing.
I just thought if the program was doing that, we probably ought to know. I gotta and somebody's been playing around in here because this has actually been turned up.
You got it in the right deal?
Yeah.
Nobody's been there. Nobody's been in your seat.
Well, it's louder.
Here.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, Number two.
Yeah. Okay.
Number two.
How's that?
That's a little bit too low. That's way too low. That's good right there.
All right.
Still a little. All right. Okay, go ahead.
Shark Girl. We were talking about nudes. I know all about these nudes. Have you?
You know more than you want to.
More than I need to.
You didn't set out to know that much about them, but you acquired the knowledge.
Yep. And then I had people that were at the nudes telling me all about the nudes.
And from the knowledge that you imparted to me about nudes, what most people may not realize is how central a towel is to that lifestyle.
Shark Girl just texted us. Have you guys ever heard of the Garden of Eden bar in Key West?
Yes, we have.
That's above the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have. She went there. One topless pregnant bartender and 17 old naked hippies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Made me literally want to vomit. I didn't sit down the whole time. They had amazing green tea mojitos, though.
Green tea mojitos.
Here's the deal. And I said it in the
piece. See, a mojito's beauty is in its simplicity.
Yes. Like the way Hemingway intended it. And the ones that you even drink today aren't the way that he had them. They've evolved. You go to a nude. I'm going to rewind this for a second.
And stop talking about nudes?
There was an old lady.
Who, sure, all that glitters is gold.
She was old. She might not even be alive anymore. This was back in the early 90s.
Is this the one that warned you about the bustle in the hedgerow?
No. She was a breast cancer survivor. And felt very uncomfortable about her body at 60-something years of age at the time. And she said, well, I overcame that by joining a naturist society. And, of course, back then, I'm naive. Naturist? What do you go, bird hunting and looking at exotic plants?
What hunting?
Bird.
Oh, I see.
And she said, no, it's, you're nude. Nude? Yeah, and I can go and take off my clothes and not feel self-conscious about it because she was a survivor. And she stayed in touch with us for a while and went and told our program director at the time, Steve Downs.
The legendary Steve Downs.
We would love to have your morning show come out and do a show with the naturists. No, thank you. He said, oh, go! You gotta do it. It'll be great radio. You're out there doing your show with the naturists. It'll be phenomenal. We finally agreed to it if we don't have to take our clothes off. No problem. It's clothing optional. If you don't feel like you need to do that, you don't have to do that. Well, where are we going? Some resort? Some, beach area where everybody's by the pool next to the Gulf? And no.
Somewhere where it might make sense that people would be nude.
Right. No, you're going to Hank's house in North Fort Myers. What?
What? So this was not a nudist colony.
No.
It was just somebody's house.
They were the naturists. It was their club.
But it's somebody's house.
Somebody's house. So we arrived there at about 5 in the morning because we're doing the morning show.
Oh.
Kick off at 6 o'clock.
Boy, there is nothing appealing about this story.
Zero. Zero. Zero appeal.
I mean,
appeal.
From the time of day on down, it's just...
Zero. And so we get there. Of course, the engineer driving the K-Rock truck is out there setting up the microphones and everything. Go into the place. It is an old, musty house. And in the house are, keep in mind, I was in my late 20s then. Go into the house, and it's, let's just say, a 55-plus crowd with probably six or seven very leathery nude
who
women.
Who have shown up at 5 in the morning to get naked for you.
Yes. Five or six or seven very low breast hanging leathery women who didn't know how to pick up a Bic razor. And about five or six barrel gut nude catcher's mitt down there guys walking around a house at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, program director Steve Downs loved every second of this because from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, he kept saying, guys, you're at the naturist, get nude. I'm not getting nude. The guy in this house in North Fort Myers, there was a hot tub in the living room. Not like
what?
Not like you'd think a modern hot tub, but one of these indoor, outdoor, the wood paneling starting
that
to...
That should be outdoors,
yes.
Because you're going to have all kinds of chlorine fumes in the home.
That had a film on it, like an oil slick. And in the... No joke!
Somebody spilled some Wesson there?
Yes, yes. In the kitchen, there's Dot.
Now, Dot is nude.
Dot is nude. She looked like she attended Woodstock. And she's nude.
And obviously the mother to several children.
Yeah. Oh. The stretch lines to prove it. She's cooking up sausage and bacon. Nude.
Frying it?
Yeah. It's all splattering around. She told me it's all about controlling the heat. So, it gets to be...
Was she wearing an apron or anything?
She might have had an apron around the cronk area. The top area was exposed, trust me. She had breasts...
Bacon and sausage, they crackle.
Yes! It's all about controlling the temperature. She had breasts that hung just above the navel... With, the nip area, the size of, I don't know, paper plates. So.
You know, there's a reason we wear clothes.
Yeah. There wasn't a young one there to be found. And so it got to be about 9:45, 15 minutes left in the show. And program director Steve Downs is saying, you got to get nude. You have to get nude. This will be... No, not going to do it. Not going to do it. He said, you get nude, I'll give you tomorrow off. It's all completely taken care of. You don't have to work tomorrow morning. I said, yeah, well, I'm in. I'll do it. Under one condition. That I disrobe in another room where there's no people, put on a robe, and then I'll quick get into the hot tub.
The one with the film on it, yeah, in the living room?
Yeah. So I did that. I took the robe off, jumped into the hot tub, got out as fast as I got in, threw the robe back on, went back into the bathroom where I used soap and degreaser to dry off, and then I had the next day off.
Just, kind of a personal question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but when you had to expose yourself to that house full of people, did your little man take cover and crawl back up in
complete.
There?
Complete.
So you look like a girl.
Yep, I was a smoothie. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, true story, 96 K-Rock.
Somewhere in southwest Florida, an ancient evil stirs.
Then Stan and Haney stepped on it. You're welcome. And remember, kids, evil is for pussies. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Thursday. We'll have the grab bag here for you in just a second. Coming up on the show in about an hour, Haney will tell you more about this in a little bit. Science fiction writer M.M. Holt will be joining us.
Brilliant.
From Australia. And later on today, our question of the week. But right now, Captain John Lazaro, head of the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, wanted a few moments of our time to
tell us about it. And it should have happened the previous break, but we were too busy talking about indoor hot tubs.
And the nudes. Captain Lazaro.
Hey, Stan. Hey, Mark. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Doing good, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it. Along with working with you both on the Stan and Haney Draft Fund for our local military families, I'm also on the board of directors for Human Trafficking Awareness Partnerships, or HTAP. We're a Fort Myers-based 501c3 charitable organization.
Uh-huh.
And our mission is to prevent human trafficking by empowering individuals through education and collaborative actions in Southwest Florida. Human trafficking is getting a lot of attention lately, as we all know, with what's going on at our southern border and some of the recent high-profile cases in the news.
It's evil.
Very evil. And, you know, one big thing is when I was in the Navy, we had to do annual different types of annual training, computer awareness, and so on. One of the mandatory training requirements is human trafficking awareness training. So, you know, it's getting international attention. And one of the big things that we learned is, you know, human trafficking is not just sex trafficking, which is what a lot of people initially think it is, but it can also be labor violations and abuse, child soldiering. We see a lot of that in third world countries.
Uh-huh.
And slavery, you know, still exists today. Uh-huh. And it's right in our backyard also. It's not just on the border states. We'll find human trafficking events in, you know, Minnesota and Midwestern states. And it's, you know, it's really out there.
So what you're talking about is basically slavery.
Exactly. Yep. Indentured servants. They might come from Far East countries with the intention of you know, getting a job in the U.S. And they find out when they get here they owe their transport, the person that transported them, some ungodly sum of money, and they have to, you know, work that off as either a servant or in some, you know, severe cases as in sex trafficking. So human trafficking as a whole is an international scourge on society. And so we at HTAP, we speak at schools, professional organizations, businesses, and in the community. We educate on the ways to recognize human trafficking and actions that can be taken. In the schools, we educate children on recognizing potential human trafficking attempts. We've got a children's program called ArtReach, which is an interactive creative arts program developed by HTAP. It's designed to instill a sense of awareness about human trafficking in our community's boys and girls and to empower them to become peer spokespersons at the adult level. Another one of our community programs is called Point of Contact, Point of Rescue, which is designed for medical personnel in the hospitality industry, mall security, librarians, to recognize possible victims of human trafficking who may come under their care or into their establishments. So we try to do a lot of stuff. Our website has additional information about the organization, some of our programs and events. That's Human Trafficking Awareness, altogether.org. So humantraffickingawareness.org. And the main reason for the call, and again, we so appreciate the time, you know, today. I know you guys are busy, and you guys are awesome. You do so much work with the Draft Fund and now letting us promote our event for Human Trafficking Awareness. On Saturday night, August 10th at 6 o'clock, we're hosting a fundraiser with the Fort Myers Miracle at their baseball game against the Jupiter Hammerheads on a Human Trafficking Awareness Night. Tickets are only $10 each, and with half of the ticket price going to HTAP. Anyone wanting to attend can contact me for tickets. My cell number is 239-851-6243. Again, 239-851-6243. Or you can email me, just like you can email me for Stan and Haney presentations. Also for baseball tickets, it's john.lazaro1, so it's john.lazaro and the number 1 at wellsfargo.com.
Now, is that because you are number 1?
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
I never figured that out because there's not any other John Lazaros in Wells Fargo, but for whatever reason they tacked a number one on there.
And so that'll be August 10th at over there at Hammond Stadium with the Fort Myers Miracle, and it's going to go to a good cause.
I can't think of a better cause.
Yep, I might even come out and hang out with you that night.
That's awesome. Yeah, our executive director, I believe, is going to be throwing out the first pitch. We're going to be doing the 50-50 raffle like we did with Stan and Haney night.
All right.
And wouldn't that be awesome to pack the stadium with Stan and Haney listeners and Stan and Haney fans?
I'll tell you one thing. I'll probably be out there with you.
That's awesome, Stan. We really appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks again for letting me call in, and you guys have a great afternoon.
Thank you,
God bless you, John.
Take care now. All right, thank you. Bye.
Yeah, there's Captain Lazaro. Good cause, good guy, period. Grab bag.
He's just, boy, his mama raised him right.
Yes, indeed. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. All right, you're about to hear something that nobody else has heard. With Robert Mueller's performance yesterday, members of Congress wanted to know, was this a put-on that he truly didn't know what was going on with his own investigation, or was he hiding something? Now, I guess there was a closed-door meeting afterwards to see what Mueller knew or knows about his own report. We have
the exclusive.
The exclusive.
Because this is behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors, this is what happened after he testified. Does he really not know what's going on in his own report?
Is it safe?
Can you repeat the question?
Is it safe?
Can you read the last question again?
Is it safe?
Can you repeat the question just to make certain that I have it accurate?
Is it safe?
Can you repeat the last part of that question?
Is it safe?
You're going to have to repeat that for me.
Is it safe?
Can you repeat the question, sir?
Is it safe?
I'm sorry, can you start it again?
That hurt.
And what was the question, sir, if I might?
You should take better care of your teeth. You have quite a cavity here.
I apologize.
Is it safe?
Then could you repeat it?
Oh, please don't worry. I'm not going into that cavity.
Pardon me?
That nerve's already dying. A live, freshly cut nerve is infinitely more sensitive.
I'm sorry, could you again repeat the question?
So, I'll just drill into a healthy tooth until I reach the pulse. Unless, of course, you can tell me that it's safe.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that one?
It knew nothing.
Well, we figured all along.
They're definitive.
Yeah. You know what? Today's Throwback Thursday.
Today's program is sponsored by Throwback Thursday. And to celebrate, let's play outside until the street light comes on. Then program the VCR to record the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. And after that, let's sit down and write a letter and mail it. I know, it's the geezer alarm. Just let me sit in a less complicated world for just a little longer.
Oh, if only. If only. What do we know about women, Haney?
We know two things that have been proven beyond a doubt on a factual basis. All women are crazy, and they're capable of anything.
Correct. Dateline, Miami.
Is it safe?
It is not. Not with her. A very angry woman.
Is this on the airplane?
No.
Did you see that one?
This is
clocked him with a laptop.
This is disturbing. A very angry woman in Miami was filmed destroying somebody's SUV with a hammer and a can of spray paint. She was going at it for over 3 minutes when the police finally showed up to stop her.
There she goes. Welcome to Miami, papi.
Bro, this is not true, bro.
Just destroying an SUV. You know, we all can't be A-Rod. But maybe we can live a little vicariously through him when he wishes his gal, J-Lo, a happy birthday. No, he doesn't do this for her. He does this in the hey, look at me attitude of, let me say it for everybody, A-Rod wishing his gal, J-Lo, a happy birthday.
Hi, baby girl. Just want to wish you a happy birthday. I cannot believe this, baby girl.
Since we've been together, you have made me feel like every day is my birthday. Thank you for your passion and your energy and your inspiration and your endless pursuit to be the best at everything that you do.
You are simply the best partner in life.
Oh, geez.
The best daughter, the best mother, the best performer. We love you. Your fans love you. Your children love you. And I love you.
Let's make this birthday a very special one.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
Dan?
Baseball's juicer, A-Rod.
Stan?
Yeah, Haney.
No, I may not be fully up to date with the current culture and certain slang, certain nomenclature.
Yeah.
But is it generally accepted to refer to a 50-year-old woman as baby girl?
Yeah, I know. Somebody just texted the exact same thing.
Baby
50
girl?
50-year-old woman being called baby girl? Oh, yeah, that A-Rod. So smooth.
And he has managed to continue being famous, even though he can no longer do he is famous for, which is collecting a paycheck.
Yeah, he's famous for hitting a lot of home runs in April and in the World Series striking out.
Yeah, he's famous for destroying the salary structure of Major League Baseball teams.
True.
Did it to three, didn't he?
Yeah, Seattle.
Houston.
Houston and the Yankees.
Or was it Texas?
Oh, no, it was Texas Rangers. Seattle, when he came up as a good, damn good player. Damn good shortstop.
At one time.
At one time. Then Texas Rangers. That's when he started juicing.
Under George W. Bush.
Yeah. And then the Red Sox wanted him, and he kept driving the price up. The Yankees got him where he juiced some more and did a whole lot of choking.
So he went from Seattle to Texas where he started juicing.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox made a big offer.
Yeah, they didn't know he was juicing then, though. It came out later.
So the Red Sox wanted him.
Yeah.
But they didn't get him.
No, the Yankees got him.
Because
they bought what was remaining of that astronomical, totally ridiculous, non-human salary that he was making in Texas.
So, do you think they got him just so that the Red Sox couldn't get him?
Yep.
Because I would think the Yankees would know better about him as a player.
They found out.
He's the anti-Reggie Jackson.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he was.
He's Mr. June.
He was. He's Mr. April. He's Mr. May. Reggie was Mr. October. Jeter was Mr. November when it counted.
There are so few. You'd think with as many people as we have playing professional sports, you'd think there would be more of them, but there's not.
No.
There are very few people. I'll use two examples. Like a Michael Jordan. like a Dan Marino.
Clutch.
That they want the ball with 1 second left on the clock.
Yep.
I'll get it done.
Yep.
Most of them don't.
We told you this yesterday. Rutger Hauer passed away. He was 75. Been in a lot of stuff. Many people remember him from Blade Runner.
Yeah, nearly talked himself out of that role.
Yeah.
Did you see that story?
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion.
I watched The Hitcher, scenes. Too. Remember on HBO?
Glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Time to die.
So did you see the story about him in Blade Runner?
I'm assuming a lot of actors nearly talked themselves out of roles.
Well, I guess he had an advocate, and I guess maybe she was the executive producer for the movie, involved in the movie, and Ridley Scott took her word when she said, you need Rutger Hauer for this role.
Yeah.
And he went and looked at some of his work, and he goes, okay, if you vouch for him, I'll do it, but we need to bring him in for at least an interview. And Rutger Hauer had been told somewhere along the line, and it sounds like advice he'd get from you, that no matter what, when you meet somebody important, you want to make sure that they remember you. No matter what you have to do, make sure they remember you.
What did he do?
Well, he thought it would be a good idea to basically dress up like Elton John when he's looking for a date.
Not good
Showed
idea.
Up wearing all pink and like rhinestone fox and Elton John glasses.
That's the Rutger Hauer I knew.
And Ridley Scott lost his mind, called the woman that had recommended him aside and said, Rutger, I'm going to need a minute. And he read this woman the riot act and said, you've sent me a poofter. And she had to explain, no, he's not a shirt lifter. He's just trying to get your attention. Then tell him to dress like a normal human.
I have a problem with this. Good cause. I have a problem with it. The O'Keefe Music Foundation makes it possible for kids around the world to record their music for free. That's good. It inspires kids to...
That's great.
Yep. Basically, the bands are made up of kids under the age of 18 get their stuff recorded. Here's one of their latest ones that they've done. It's an 8-year-old singing Slipknot's The Devil and I. 8 years old.
Yeah.
Good cause.
Are there any adults involved in this?
I'm sure, yes. Let me leave you with one more clip from the Mueller testimony. Is he dealing with a full deck? You be the judge.
Did your investigation find that the Russian government perceived it would benefit from one of the candidates winning?
Yes.
And which candidate would that be?
Well, it would be Trump. Trump.
Trump. Check that. Trump.
You know, multiple people have come out and said this. Probably the most notable among them would be Senator Lindsey Graham, who said, I had to wait for this to be over. And he said, you know, in the Senate, they have been bothering me ever since they heard that he was going to the House that, well, Mueller should testify before the Senate. And I very quietly said, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, a lot of people knew that he wasn't capable of testifying. Here's what...
And Lindsey Graham said, I have heard for the past several years he should have never been put in that position.
They said they got backed, believe it or not, the Democrats got backed into a corner because they immediately called for Mueller to testify, thinking that the Republicans would go and protest that and say that is not going to happen, and the thought that the attorney general would stop him from doing that. But what happened was, is the Republicans and the attorney, sure.
Republicans have questions of their own.
Sure, we have. And they got caught. They knew damn well. That's why at the last minute he needed his right-hand man there, because they got caught. They knew darn well that Mueller couldn't testify properly.
This was the Weissman report.
Yep.
Mueller had nothing to do with
it. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Stan and Haney. Don't worry. They're only doing their C-list material right now. Huh. It'll get better. 96 K-Rock.
Huh?
Don't count on it. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. 277-9600. We have some prizes available to you. We can have a few minutes to talk. Because in about 20 minutes or so, this is going to be an undertaking, because we have to call another land far, far, far away from here. And we've done a couple of test runs and so far okay. But we're going to have a gentleman on. Haney is in love with this guy in his books.
I'm not in love with the man.
Not personally. You're in love with his style and the way...
With his art.
Let me just, because...
And his commentary.
He's something. And Haney understands this far more than I do, so I went to his book distributor.
Oh, you did?
Where they go and try to describe who this guy is. And...
I don't know much about him. I just know his work.
Well, let me tell you what his book distributor says. And what they've written up about him. And I'll go along with the ride and see what this guy has to say.
I will tell you, this was something that I read for pleasure over vacation. I knew nothing about him, and I got the book just based on the description, and I was not disappointed.
This gentleman's name, and I'm reading directly from them describing him and what he writes about. His name is M.M. Holt. He is a mysterious figure who lives partly in the real world, but more often in his imagination. He writes science fiction, horror, and adventure novels, often involving a Navy lieutenant named Alex Burns. That's the character.
That's key right there.
Who struggles to keep his sanity in a repressive future dystopia. This same Alex Burns also fights alien invaders. Sometimes Burns's great seafaring ancestors also appear in the books. They are also named Alex Burns. And in their own times, they also battle invaders from beyond the stars. Battling aliens and dystopian regimes is like a family tradition for this character, Alex Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Holt himself is a relentless traveler. He can usually be found riding in cafes by the sea or in a bar on the edge of a crowded street, usually in far-flung cities, which is why we're calling far, far, far away today. If you see him, he'll be the handsome yet enigmatic stranger pounding the keyboard of his laptop, pausing only to sip black coffee and glance warily over his shoulder. He knows the accord of nations is always one step behind. You love this guy's books. I read his little... I'm trying to figure out who this guy actually is. And we're going to get a chance to talk to him from...
I can't wait.
Really far away.
Now, there are two books in this series about Alex Burns. And either of them could stand on their own. But when you read all of it, he is painting a picture. And he talked about the ancestor. The ancestor is a British sea captain in the 1800s.
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's his
now,
world.
Which one did you read, Protocol or 50 Degrees South?
Both of them. Protocol is the second one, which is mainly what we're going to talk about, because the first one sets up the second one. The Alexander Burns in the near future is someone who has grown up kind of thinking about that ancestor, that he wants to be in the Navy and he wants to have that life of a warrior. But the world that he lives in, set in the near future, is ruled by a one-world government where it's unclear the place that the military has in that world. They still have a military, but there is no war because there's a one-world government. And so how would a young man advance in the Navy? Well, he has to advance by indoctrinating himself further and further into what the one world government demands of him. And what they demand is very much like what's on a college campus right now. Well, I see here, Lieutenant Burns, if you want a promotion, you're going to need to get your numbers up in intersectional feminist studies. And when aliens do show up,
yeah,
well, we're racist and wrong when they kill our people because that's their way. We have to expand our way of thinking.
All right, well, we'll see what M.M. Holt will say. Haney has read his books, and
I laughed my ass off.
Okay. 277-9600. If you contribute to the show, we got some Babakoo Saw, maybe. Pewter Mug North. Five Finger Death Punch. I have a pair of tickets. Hertz Arena. These things don't even go on sale until tomorrow. They're going to be in concert in town. Five Finger Death Punch, November 16th. You want to go to the movies and see Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw? It's going to be at the Bell Tower. Got tickets for that. Sunshine Ace Hardware, Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers. Love to hear from you. 277-9600. Ahoy.
Hey, it's me, Shark Girl.
Hey, Shark Girl. How are you?
I'm okay. I stepped in dog poop this morning in Naples, and I had to...
You have a horrible, horrible connection.
Ah, is this better?
Yes.
Yes. Why would you call us on a bad phone?
Why would you do that?
No, I called you on my speaker, which I always called it on, and Rob said it was bad.
Look, You've been on this show many times.
And the sad
times.
Thing is, I know you've got something to say. We'd like to hear it.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I stepped in dog poop this morning, and I had to rinse it off in a bathroom in Naples with Gold Lame grout on the floor. So that is how I'm doing today. Also, I would like to publicly address something.
What?
Stan, you know HW very well.
It's our former intern who...
Haven't heard from him in a long time, though.
I'll run into him once in a while at a Walmart, and he doesn't have a whole heck of a lot to say, and it's almost like...
You mean beyond welcome to Walmart.
Yeah, we groomed him to move on with his broadcast career, and it's
Or his writing career. He was supposed to be destined for greatness.
Straight down the drain.
So, yes, all of that is accurate. You apparently understand him better than I do. His wonderful girlfriend forced him to go camping with us this weekend, and all he did was complain the whole time, "Oh, so hot. It's so hot. What are we doing here?" And I brought him to the largest artisanal spring in the entire world.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Where is that?
Silver Spring.
Is Silver Springs the biggest?
Yes, it is the largest.
Wow. Did you guys get to go down the Silver River, or did you just stay at the springs?
No, we went down the Silver River. It was great.
Isn't that awesome?
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I used to do that all the time.
I think it's so nice because they don't let anyone swim in it. It's kind of annoying because it's like, you know, such a tease. Like, no, you can't get in this water, but you can look.
Doesn't he know what camping is?
So beautiful. That water is so beautiful.
Well, we found an area where you could swim, and he refused to get in this water.
For people that don't know, Silver Springs, you probably know it from the attraction, and they own the land around the main spring. But you go a little bit down the Silver River, and they don't own that. And it is a state waterway. You can take your boat all the way up the Silver River into the attraction.
Yep.
Because that's still Florida waterways, but that whole Silver River is just like at the head of the spring where it's crystal clear water and it goes on for miles, and it's like you're in the jungle.
It's always nice and cool, and all you can just see
72 degrees.
Yep.
It was the most beautiful spring I think I've ever seen in the entire state.
All right, and your complaint is?
He would not get in this water. He complained all weekend, "I'm so hot," and I kept saying, "Is it because you heard somewhere that there's bacteria in the water or amoeba?" "No, I just don't like it." Can you explain this to me? Can you explain this? This made me so angry. I kept thinking, I'm about to give a grown man a wedgie. That is the thought that was on my mind the whole time.
I thought that was his deal, being outside and around the water.
Water and the sea turtles and fish.
He'll get in salt water, but he will not get in a public pool. I took him to the warm mineral springs, which has the highest mineral content in North
America. Oh, I've been to that.
America.
That's a nice place.
Yeah, you know, with all the Russian people, it's great.
Now, the one thing about Silver Springs, when you're up around the main spring and the attraction, they actually feed the gators there to keep them fat and sassy.
Maybe you know something you don't.
But the further you get away from there, you find the skinny gators and,
That makes sense.
And plenty of cottonmouths, too. And then monkeys throwing crap at you.
Sharker, you're entitled to a prize. You haven't won anything. You want anything?
No, that's okay.
Did you see any wild monkeys while you're up there?
No, I heard that the local biologist had been hitting them with these darts to take blood samples, and now the monkeys have become wary.
Oh.
So they're trying to figure out how to get rid of them.
They were pretty aggressive when I was there.
All right, we got to go.
Yeah. Okay, love you, bye.
All right, love you, bye.
It is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it is. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is John.
Hey, John.
I just wanted to call and say I just got back from the other coast, and I haven't been able to listen to your radio show. I haven't laughed in, like, 3 days, so it's been kind of crappy.
It's all right, you're home now,
yeah,
son.
You're home.
Yeah.
Where on the other coast did you go?
I went to Lake Worth.
Oh, well, welcome home.
Yeah, thank you, man. The traffic made me want to blow my brains out.
What can I get you?
You got any more Five Finger Death Punch?
Yeah, you're going. Hold on.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hold on. Time for maybe one more call here, depending on how it goes. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm great.
One of our Amandas.
One of the many. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you guys. You know, a couple weeks back, I had brought in a t-shirt, and I talked to the really nice lady up front.
That's Mary.
And after a couple of days, she was nice enough to call me. You guys took the time out and signed the shirt.
Sure.
And that just meant so much to me.
Well, I'm so glad. I remember Mary came back and said there was somebody that was at the front desk and asked if you'd sign her t-shirt, and absolutely.
Yeah, I just really appreciated it.
I would do anything for you, Amanda.
Oh, thanks.
Talk to you soon, baby.
Thank you.
All right, bye. We got to take a break. All right, let me explain to you what's going to happen here.
Because we're going to beam a signal to Australia.
I'm giving a fair warning to everybody involved. This is a little bit of an undertaking because even Mr. Holt himself was unsure if he could get a connection. Rob has tried it a few times. It appears the connection to Australia is good, but that can change from moment to moment.
And I haven't spoken to him before, and I am betting everything that he'll be good at explaining this.
That's the key with an author. Some authors can write, and your mind expands, and then you ask them to say it. That's the question mark.
You know, it is the best social commentary that I have seen in years.
M.M. Holt, coming up next. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
We live our lives according to the biblical principle that it is far better to give than to receive. And the management here at Beasley is just fine with that arrangement. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. About a half hour away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock, Fluffer, your emails, hour away from our question of the week. We were talking about him just a few minutes ago. He has two books out right now, 50 Degrees South Protocol.
They're part of a series.
And he himself is a mysterious figure, because if you go online and try to find a picture of M.M. Holt, he's usually holding his hand up in front of his face, wearing a hat, and he is a mysterious man himself. Science fiction, horror, adventure novels, and he goes as far away as he possibly can, because we are now going to say hi to M.M. Holt, who is in Australia. We got through welcoming M.M. Holt to the Stan and Haney Show. Sir, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be here.
He's there.
You are there. I know that
there was much discussion as to whether we needed Skype or satellites, but the phone worked fine.
The phone works fine, and I know that there was a lot of discussion between Haney and I. We said, can we get M.M. Holt on? He's in Australia. Let's cross our fingers. And, well, at least your voice. Welcome to the United States.
Thank you, guys. I hope you can hear me clearly. I can hear you clearly.
Oh, yeah. You sound absolutely great. And as soon as we got back from vacation, my partner Mark Haney said, we've got to talk to you, not only about your books, but the background of you and yourself. First of all, tell everybody who may have never heard of you before a little bit about yourself.
Well, I should add, guys, that M.M. Holt is a pseudonym. It's my pen name.
But, I understand.
There's a little bit of crossover between M.M. Holt's exciting life and mine. Both of us were born and raised in Australia, but both of us lived for a long time overseas. And both of us worked in the advertising industry for quite a while before, like many copywriters and art directors, decided we wanted to try something a bit more adventurous. And so a few years ago, I had a go at writing books. And these two books are not my first efforts, but these are the first two that have found an audience, let's say.
Well, I found it over vacation. I love things like Neal Stephenson, Peter F. Hamilton, and all the new wave of British sci-fi. And I just stumbled upon yours based on, I guess, the blurb that the publisher put there. And I read both of your books, and I was so impressed with them, especially with Protocol and the grasp that you have of PC culture and the way you wove that into the book, where you've got a young Alex Burns who wants nothing more than to be a warrior, but he finds himself in a world where that's not allowed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I set out to write an alien invasion story.
And you did.
That's right, I did. But I added a twist. The normal alien invasion story is one where the aliens arrive in their spaceship. They fire a few weapons at the Earth cities. The world's leaders are caught by surprise. But eventually they get their act together and fight back, get rid of the aliens. But I thought I could make things much more difficult for the hero, Alex Burns, and create a bit of a humorous background by creating a PC dystopia where 300 years into the future, the world's leaders have become so PC that to fight back goes against their PC beliefs because they feel they'd be insulting the aliens and othering them. So they,
yes.
The last thing they'd want to do is insult another culture.
And that is so much as to what's going on today, you know, because Haney and I are you know, we're in our 50s and we grew up thinking the world was going to be a certain way.
Well, we grew up thinking the world was round.
And now you have to watch out what you say. Things that we took completely for granted are now, you know, not proper. It's insulting. It's racial. It's sexist.
So when Alex is deciding to join the Navy, as he progresses in his career, what sort of things does Alex have to learn to succeed in the modern one world government Navy?
Well, not what you'd expect compared to Navy training today. In the modern PC world, you don't have to learn about modern military naval strategy or marksmanship or weaponry.
It's frowned upon, really.
Yes, that's right. It doesn't help you. You have to learn about suppressing your toxic masculinity. You have to learn about the importance of gender diversity. You have to learn about the importance of having a ship filled to percentage point quota of every particular group in the world. And the last thing that is required is an actual functioning fighting force. And there's a moment in the book where Alex, who's been denied a promotion yet again after attending his hearing with all of his credentials in marksmanship and strategy, he walks away and says, how can it be that to be the best, I have to be my worst? And, of course, this is not a world that's ready to defend itself from some hostile invaders from across the galaxy.
All right, I'm going to ask you something that it's going to maybe show a little bit about yourself. A lot of times when you have authors that are writing fiction, they put a little bit of themselves into every book that they write. There's a thin line of their lives or a thin line of their truth in a fictional story. Something tells me that M.M. Holt has a certain view on the world, and like Haney and I have just about had it.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. I like your good selves, like most decent people, I've watched the world change over the last few decades and seen what some people describe PC as being taking common decency and turning it into a tyranny for the mind.
Yes.
One guy say so that in the past, what most people just used to regard as courtesy and getting along with one another has suddenly become something that has us all walking on eggshells, and instead of bringing people together and making social interactions and working with each other easier, it's created an atmosphere of fear and,
walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, though. I mean, you make your home in Australia, and from what we have heard over the years, they are going very PC in Australia as well. We're here in the United States. We see it happening on our college campuses all the time, where if you have a slight right-wing view, a conservative view on something, a lot of times you can't speak on college campuses. What's it like, not only from a curiosity standpoint, because I've never been to Australia, but what is Australia like socially, and what is it like as a country and hanging out there and making that your home?
Well, it's funny you should mention university campuses. There was an article in the papers here yesterday about a consultant who'd come from the U.S. to look at our universities to see how far they'd gone
right
towards the no platforming of speakers and suppression of free speech and all of the other things you hear about on university campuses, like trigger warnings and safe spaces.
Yeah.
His view about the universities here was that you're on the way, but it's not too late to save you.
Now, where
if you act now,
you have such a grasp of the PC lingo. Where were you exposed to it?
Just reading the press and just being aware to it. I think my ear was a bit more sensitive to it after spending so many years away, mostly in Asia, where PC hasn't, or maybe I couldn't tell because of the language difference. Maybe PC hadn't taken hold so much there. But when I returned back and was reading the news and talking to people, it just seemed that the world had shifted over the past 10 years, and things that had seemed to be fact up until, say, 3 seconds ago were now not totally counterintuitive, and to even question them was to draw upon yourself a whole list of names you didn't want to be called. I mean, it's not that bad, of course, but that's the atmosphere that is often reported in the papers. So,
and you know, the one thing about where I think PC has changed just in the past couple of years is the level of aggression and anger if you're not with their program.
Yes. I think it seems to have gathered steam. If you remember in the 90s, PC, when it was prominent, seemed to be more a figure of fun. People used to make lame jokes about being vertically challenged, you know, those kinds of things, and it was harmless. But it seems to have gathered steam and rolled its way into even as far as public policy. And for example, that bill in Canada that was passed last year that compels people to use preferred pronouns, and if they don't, if someone asks them, of course, and if they don't, there are penalties for it. So
yeah.
I guess it's just gathered steam under its own momentum. Perhaps it's due to the world changing so rapidly. I know here in Australia our population has increased something like 30% over the last 20 years or so. But things like that, I think, contribute to it.
I'm a little naive about Australia. Are you relatively close in Australia to a large city, or are you out in the middle of nowhere?
No, like most Australians, I live on the east coast. I'm in Melbourne, which is on the southeast coast. The population here is about 4 million. The country's population is about 25 million. And most of us live on the coast somewhere, mostly on the east coast in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, and Adelaide. But yes, you're right. There's also some brave souls living in the center.
I'm just, I didn't know if, like, as you're talking to us right now, like some kind of a kangaroo or a wombat is knocking at your door.
Are you worried about a dingo might get his baby?
Or a dingo might get your baby.
No. The way the cities are expanding.
I also got to ask you, because you have, of course, the ones that have really gotten a lot of attention here in the States, and Haney found you, a 50 degrees south protocol.
Protocol is such brilliant social commentary.
Being an author, and you are in Australia, I think you're in the middle of winter right now, aren't you?
That's right. We call it winter, but compared to some parts of the U.S., the people who live in the north probably wouldn't call it winter. It's about 12 degrees centigrade now, which I think is 50-something.
That's our winter.
Yeah, that's our winter here in Florida.
That's about as cold as it gets here.
But how hard is it for somebody like yourself, which after two books now, you've written others, but are finally starting to get recognized, and you can get your books on Amazon, and people are writing about you. Is it more difficult trying to work out of Australia to get a more international attention than, say, if you lived here in the United States and worked out of California or New York?
Well, I think that would have been true up until about 10 years ago. But it was the arrival of the Amazon's Kindle Direct Publishing that changed everything. And for aspiring authors everywhere, it meant that they didn't have to go through the torturous series of gates to get their books to out into the world.
Right.
So you didn't need to get an agent. You didn't need to survive the slush pile at a publisher. You could just put your book up there and push a button, and it's available to the world. Of course, you've got to market it and learn ways to get it out there. But yeah, it changed everything. So for someone here in Australia, or just about any other country, it's so much easier. And I think a lot better too. The good books still find their way
absolutely
to the top.
And I'll tell you, I had no idea you were Australian until I contacted you. As I was reading those books, that sounded 100% American to me.
Yeah, it could be happening right, you know, with the whole PC culture.
Well, dear idea, guys. I should. You've caught me out for the charge of cultural appropriation.
Hey, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And I know it's very early in the morning where you're at right now. And I want to thank you so much for spending a little time with
us. And thank you for writing that book. I need it.
That's great. Thank you very much for having me on, Joe.
And hopefully maybe someday we'll have you on again.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
All right. Thank you, friend.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. There he goes, M.M. Holt. I just love the Australian accent.
The book is... If you need a release valve when you've had enough, you read that book, you'll feel better.
You can go on Amazon, Protocol, and his other book that is popular, 50 Degrees South, and he recommends The Protocol, but it's a series of books.
Yeah, I think actually read Protocol first, and once you're done with that, then you'll want to read the previous one. The previous one can stand on its own, but Protocol is the one with the social commentary.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're going to get a look at traffic news headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Later on in the 4 o'clock hour, our question of the week.
I mean, he knows the whole PC language.
It sounds it.
It's awesome.
96K Ron.
Our show is like a big party. A party in your ears. And we're all coming. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. It's Thursday afternoon. I had to think about that for a second. We're going to get you updated on traffic, news headlines, Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer emails later on, question of the week.
I appreciate your indulgence. I very much enjoyed talking to Man of Mystery, M.M. Holt.
Yeah, let me show you something.
What happened?
Just, I want you.
Do you have an owie? You got a boo-boo?
Here. And inside my hand here, you see this. That happened this morning.
Cat?
Yep. Now, that looks like a scratch on my hand, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a scratch. It's teeth. Where the cat clawed down, taking skin and flesh with it, Do you know what prompted me to get bitten? And I mean Neosporin in the wound, blood bitten by my cat today?
Yeah, there was an intent to wound you.
This
wasn't a love bite.
I was simply walking from the living room into the bedroom to take my shower.
Uh-huh.
And the cat squared off at the bedroom door. And I said, get out of my way. The cat latched onto me. And as I was...
So it squared off at you and then attacked.
Yep. And as I tried to get him off my hand, it sunk its teeth in and went straight down with its mouth, not its claw. And then I proceeded to throw him against the wall.
Well, you shouldn't admit that.
Why?
Well, somebody will try and throw you in jail.
Didn't hurt him. He was ready for more.
No, I know. But it happened to a girl who was doing that streaming thing.
Yeah.
Where she's playing a video game and it's got video of her playing the game in the corner live.
Yeah.
And she's in the middle of a raid trying to concentrate and the cat jumps in front of her. She picks up the cat in one fell swoop, picked up the cat and threw it over her head so that she could keep playing. And everybody, oh, they need to take that cat away from you.
Is this it? Is that it? Oh! Yeah.
Well, why'd you say, oh, she threw the cat.
Well, let me tell you something.
That's a good job, Rob. You were right on that.
Cat did not bite her. And it's different cat. Oh, yes.
So do you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I have a problem with that because Kat was, she's more concerned about playing her game.
Of course she is.
Our doctor, we go and see, he saw my legs cut up.
Something you want to tell me, Stan?
Well, he said...
Trouble at home?
You know what he said to me? He said, and this is, I take my doctor's advice. He said, what the hell's the matter with your legs? I said, it's the cat that I have. He scratches and bites my legs. He said, if that was my cat, it'd do it one time. He says, you let this cat... I said, it's not a question of letting him do it. He attacks. He said, one time. This cat could be walking out of the litter box.
I want you to do an exercise with me now. How long have you had that cat?
About 3 years.
Okay. Let's forget these 3 years happened.
Yeah.
So, what's this I hear about you, Stan, looking at getting a cat?
Yeah, I'm looking to get a cat.
It's from D-Train's relative, raises cats. What kind of cat are you looking at?
A Highland Lynx.
Now, what kind of cat is that?
Alabama Wildcat.
So this is a good percentage of this cat's genes come from a jungle cat.
Yep.
And you think that's cool, right?
Did at the time.
And you're going to spend a lot of money.
Spent a lot of money.
And one of our listeners is going to transport that cat with their family all the way from Alabama to here.
Yep.
And you're pretty excited about it, aren't you?
I was very excited, yeah.
Now, what made you choose a Highland Lynx rather than just a normal cat?
Because they got a little bit of love for life. They got those juices flowing there. They're...
I don't know that I'd want that.
I don't know.
Sell me on it.
No, I can't now. I can't.
No, I want you to go back 3 years.
You know, it interacts with you. It likes to have fun. And, you know, it's
so it's a little more active than a regular cat.
Yeah, and I didn't know this. It's a tree cat. There are cats that are ground cats.
Did not call that guy with the guitar case full of cat toys, did you?
No.
So all of the things that made you want this wildcat are the things that you're complaining about now.
Here's the thing. He's a beautiful animal. I mean, a gorgeous animal.
Well, you know, you have lectured me Haney, just because she's hot doesn't mean that you should put up with that.
I know that. And my girlfriend and I have had discussions that maybe it's time. He's becoming a little too much.
But I know you pretty well, and you're not the kind of fella that likes to admit he's made a major mistake.
He's a little too much.
This is a major misstep, Stan,
and
you've got to take the blame.
I do take the blame, and we can't just give this cat to anyone. No elderly, no children. This requires a healthy adult.
Have you mentally and emotionally reach that point where you're willing to part with the cat?
I'm close. I'm this close. Look at my hand!
Well, there is a way. There is a procedure. You will need to have the cat declawed.
Yeah, I don't want to do that to him.
And defanged.
Yeah. That's what I have to do, like a circus animal.
And then
and it's got extra claws, because it's, what do they call them, the big giant paws on them?
Predator paws. Yeah, and then once that's done, you're going to have to be very abusive with the animal.
Yeah, teach him a lesson, break his will.
That's it. You have to cow it into submission.
I don't know. I just wanted to go to a good home.
Cat only understands one thing.
It does. Aggression.
And how does it respond when you finally get aggressive?
It gets more aggressive.
Then how do these things end?
I'll tell you how they ended, how it ended.
Because your flesh has been stripped.
Yeah.
You've been bitten, you've been clawed.
Yeah.
And then you throw the cat against the wall.
Yep.
What happens then?
I run real fast to close the door as he's charging at it. And when I close the door, I hear the whole weight of his body hit the door. And then I wait.
So you flee from the animal.
I wait maybe 5 minutes.
You know that just makes it more aggressive.
I go and take 10 minutes into the shower, and I get out of the shower, and I open up the door slowly, and I find out that I have a cat tree that goes up about 10 feet. He climbs to the highest part up there, and then we'll go take a nap. So after 10-15 minutes
after he's drawn blood,
yep, I'll open up the door slowly, and I see that he's sleeping. Other times, I'll open the door slowly, and he's still there.
And so then, do you quietly gather your things and sneak off to work?
Yep. Well, sometimes I can't get out the door either. That you got to go and distract him with something, like a raw steak.
Now,
I'm not joking.
Traffic.
Fort Myers crash, 7300 block of Gladiolus Drive, and Lakes Park crash, I-75 northbound at Alico Road, Fort Myers crash, Camelot Drive and McGregor Boulevard. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than an hour, the newscast of record with Mark Haney. He's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will, of course, have some things for you you didn't know. Well, let's see what we got. We are really focusing on one geographic area today, the greater Volusia County area.
Ah, that's near Orlando.
Well, that's your Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
Dateline Deltona, Florida.
Okay.
See, that's between DeLand and Daytona. It's Deltona. A woman wins the lottery.
Good for her.
and is busted for drugs hours later. And finally, Dateline Holly Hill, Florida.
Yeah.
Police apprehend a prolific burglar, stole a bunch of stuff, only got caught when he left his motel room key behind. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Can we please have some laughter? I'm tired of the pain. 4 o'clock fluffer time brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies?
You know, Stan has taught me many things.
I've tried.
And one of those things has to do with real estate. When you're doing a real estate transaction, you're going to need a real estate agent.
Yes.
And according to Stan's little book of wisdom, you always hire the real estate agent that is pictured on a bench. If they've got their picture on a bench, that's the one you go with.
Yeah. You feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
All right, I already seen him. I think I can work with that person.
It's a very important decision. Yeah. Don't leave it to chance.
Yep.
Listen to Stan.
Look at a picture.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
signs you hired a bad real estate agent.
Top signs you've hired a bad real estate agent.
He pronounces it realtor. He represents a firm called Coldwell Wanker. You thought she said, I'm going to show you a fixer-upper, when in reality she said, I need my fix of uppers. Can't do any advertising due to outstanding warrants. Points out the backyard has plenty of room for a pool, a swing set, and a series of shallow graves. Shows you the master bathroom after leaving a floater in the toilet.
I didn't like that one.
When showing a home, he points out what he thinks are the best spots in each room to have relations.
Laugh it up.
After assessing your needs and your budget, she asked, how do you feel about tiny homes? That's the latest thing, you know.
I know, tiny home, can't do it.
And finally, the top sign you hired a bad real estate agent.
Yes.
Remember, this is a professional. You got to listen to him. You want to sell this house?
Yeah.
You listen to me.
Yeah.
He says you need ambiance. So he adds candles, soft jazz, and whores. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Left the building.
You know, it's a weird business because part of their job is they have to bake cookies or fresh bread.
Yeah. Candles and cookies make the house smell like a home. Email.
Somebody's home.
Yeah. Not mine. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
Okay.
So
okay.
That cat is up there sleeping in the cat tree just waiting for you to come in.
I'll come home tonight, and my girlfriend will already be home. He'll be sleeping on her lap, purring, because he's getting attention and being pet. Now, if she gets up to say hi to me or moves him off of her lap,
mm-hmm.
That's something he does not like. He will bite her.
So that's just part of his normal communication.
As long as he's getting what he wants, he's fine. You got phone rings. You got to get to the computer. There's something in the oven. And you got to move. Get off of me. And he doesn't like it. He'll bite you.
So he goes from eyes closed and purring to...
In a split second. This is a great
has it
email.
Developed a taste for your blood,
sure
particularly?
Has. Sure has. It knows the taste. Captain Lazaro sent this to me. One of our draft fund recipients sent a letter, and that is Rachel Wright. I should say A1C Rachel Wright. I wanted to thank you for the special presentation you made on my behalf on 96K Rock on Monday. My parents recorded it so that I could listen to it after my tech school class. I really appreciate the kind words you expressed and the details that you gave, especially when you referred to the USS Wisconsin. My parents and grandmom said they were very emotional when they heard it on the radio. Once again, much thanks to you, Captain Lazaro, and your associates at 96K Rock for the recognition and monetary gift. Best regards, A1C Rachel Wright.
God bless you, Rachel. Keep up the good work.
Remember the guy that Zito talked to, and then he came in, and he was a little pudgy guy, and he was really amped up about being in Radio 1.
Yeah.
He was so glad he grew up listening to us. He emailed us. His name's Brian. Very good kid. Ahoy, gents. My name is Brian. I was the young man who came in to speak with Zito, and then I spoke with Stan Haney and Junior while on the air, and they asked me to inspire someone as they had inspired me, which turned into me having the best summer experience while working for a radio station in West Palm Beach.
Outstanding.
I'm reaching out to see if D-Train still is making a podcast with the World War II veterans.
Yes, he is.
If he does, could you please pass along this email to him? I work for Freedom Waters Foundation, a nonprofit that takes veterans, people with disabilities, life-threatening illnesses, and at-risk youth out on aquatic outings that range from cruising to fishing to even kayaking. We operate on this coast from Marco Island all the way up to Cape Coral and Boquilla. And on the east coast of Florida, we operate from Miami to Stewart. All of the services we provide are at no cost to our participants. I was hoping that I could potentially connect D-Train with some World War II veterans that we have and who have served, and get them to share their story with him and have him share who we are with the veterans that he has had on his podcast. Thank you for all you guys do to bring joy, laughter, and entertainment to so many in such a bland, music-saturated radio market. Signed, Brian.
That is outstanding, and I'm sure D-Train will take you up on that.
Yeah. The Guardian.
Jesus.
Yeah. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, yesterday I'm sure you noticed every time a new person was called to question Mueller, he was looking where they were. Now, have you ever seen, looking to find out where they were? Now,
yeah, he had his guy pointing him out.
Now, you ever seen a muskrat or a prairie dog? When they're on the lookout for, they bob up and look around, and that's what he reminded me of. I found it a little odd when they were talking about Russian involvement that no one mentioned that Devin Nunes. Okay, you guys are the best sign, The Guardian.
Well, because Devin Nunes pointed out that the Russians were messing around at least 2 years before the election, and nobody listened to him.
Our question of the week is next. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
All women are crazy, and so are we. No wonder things have gone so smoothly for us in the romance department. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Mark Haney and the news in less than 30 minutes. We do this every Thursday. Our question of the week should prompt a thought in your head. It's not a yes or no answer to our question of the week. I'll pose to you the question. We'll do some traffic, allow you time to call in 277-9600 and answer our question of the week. It's going to prompt a memory, a thought. And I think today's a good one because I tried it out on Matt Mangus, program director Matt Mangus, had an answer right off the bat. I had an answer right off the bat. And I'm sure if you give yourself 3 seconds to think back to a particular time, you'll have an answer as well. Here's our question of the week, and then we'll take your phone calls so you can answer it. Think about your bedroom as a kid. This could be when you were a little kid, preteen, teenager, still living at home, still had your sanctuary, which was your bedroom. Think about your bedroom when you were a kid. If you could, what one item would you walk back into that bedroom and take so that you could have it today? All right, Haney, you get a chance to walk back into young Haney's bedroom. You can take one item because you don't have it anymore to bring it back and have it now. Our question of the week. Think about your bedroom when you were a kid. If you could go back into that room, what one item would you like to have with you right now? 277-9600. We'll take your phone calls right after we do traffic, brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Couple of things on the board. We'll start in North Fort Myers. Disabled vehicle, North Tamiami Trail and Powell Drive. And in Fort Myers, crash. Sophomore Lane and Daniels Parkway. And you are up to date. Another traffic update right before Mark Haney in the news. Think about it. Go back to any era of your young childhood, adulthood. Going to give you the opportunity, if you could, to go into that room and take one thing out of that room so that you can have it today. What would it be? Mine's easy. Two things. My grandfather passed away in 1974. My grandmother gave me his Fender Hawaiian steel guitar. It was in the back of my closet since the time I was 12. And I took that thing everywhere with me. When I moved to go to college, I took it to Florida with me. Apartment to apartment, moving that Hawaiian steel guitar. And I threw a party at our apartment. I got a little drunk. Somebody stole the guitar out of my closet.
Somebody you knew.
Somebody I knew. I can't tell you how expensive it was. It was from the 40s. and was pristine. The other thing would be...
Who do you think took it?
I have a good idea who took it. And he wasn't a close friend. He was an older guy, musician. We've talked about it before, the guy that never wants to graduate from college.
Uh-huh.
So we were all, you know, 20, 21 years old. This guy was like in his 30s going after his fourth degree. And I remember I was in my bathroom sick as a dog, and I could hear somebody going into the closet, and there was nothing I could do about it. And I didn't catch him, but I know that was him. The other thing would be my baseball card collection. If I kept that, I'd be rich. And I sold it just before the market on baseball cards hit in the 90s.
Yeah, you and me, we got a knack for that.
Don't we? All right, Haney, think about your bedroom when you were a kid. If you could go back to that bedroom and take one item that you can have right now, what would it be?
You know, I'm lucky enough to have most of it.
Yeah, I know.
If there was going to be one thing... Because it ended up being so influential on the rest of my life. I had a radio that I carried with me everywhere. And at the time, I collected beer cans. And I had a beer can radio. It looked like a can of Coors, but it was an AM radio.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
And I carried that with me everywhere I went. I don't know what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
But given where you and I are right now, my focus on listening to the radio all the time turned out to be a pretty big deal.
277-9600. Go back to that room as a kid. You can, if it was possible, take one item. You can have it now. What would it be? Ahoy, who's this?
Good afternoon. This is Ray.
Ray?
Yes, sir.
What would it be?
Would be my knife collection. Well, should I say blade collection?
There we go.
I had a really cool one as a kid.
Did it get stolen? Did you sell it? Did it get thrown out?
Well, I probably outgrew it.
You outgrew knives.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it happens. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Can you hear me?
This James.
James, what would it be?
I just saw a special on the 10th anniversary of her death, my Farrah Fawcett poster.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know if it would be the first thing I would take out of my room, but there was Farrah there, but I had a special thing for Jacqueline Smith. Had her in her white bikini. I don't know if that would be the first thing. I'd want my baseball cards. 277-9600.
I wonder if any of the Star Wars stuff I had would be worth something now.
I get, from what I read and what I understand, the first edition Star Wars stuff, when the first movie was out, they didn't know if it was going to be a hit. They tried marketing some of this stuff. That's the valuable stuff.
Because I had the Star Wars paperback that I got before the movie came out.
See, I don't know if that would be worth anything.
And then I remember I had a Millennium Falcon, bunch of action figures.
See, now those might have something because it's in the collectible, the doll and action figures are very
collectible. The Millennium Falcon made noise.
Ooh.
Remember that.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Scott.
Scott, if you think back to your bedroom when you were a kid and you could walk in there and take one item that you could have today, what would it be?
Clearly, it'd be my milk crate with all my LP vinyl that had my Rolling Stones original release.
Yeah.
Some girls that still had Farrah Fawcett's negative on it.
It wasn't Farrah Fawcett. It was Raquel Welch.
You're certain of that?
I'm okay. Certain of that. And they made...
you know what? We hear that so much, people regretting letting go of their vinyl.
Yeah. And it was Raquel Welch. She didn't want to be on there, and they had to change the face. Here's the cool thing. Yes? Hello?
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 What line have I got? Oh, yeah. Did I just talk to you?
You did.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. Call back if I didn't. Here's the thing about vinyl.
Tried to throw my vinyl out.
I know, but you got it out of the dumpster. A lot of vinyl.
Why would you do that to me?
Look.
You don't like it when people do that to you.
They were sitting there for 15 years. They were warped, waterlogged, and a lot of them were mine.
No, they weren't.
I had a bunch of vinyl in there, too.
No, you didn't.
I sure did.
Well, guess what? It's mine now.
I know.
Although, you know, if you wanted it back, I would give it to you.
I know.
But you just showed a reckless disregard.
I did not.
Dave had to save him. You put him out in a dumpster.
We had to move out of that office.
For no reason.
I begged you.
For no reason.
For weeks.
Why did we move out of that office?
Take your records home.
Are we getting that office back?
What office?
The office they made you leave.
No, they got the new guy over at Death 106.
But he's not a program director.
Assistant. Oh, let me get the other phone.
We just get kicked around.
I know. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Hello?
Jeez,
hello?
These phones. Can you hear me? No, you can't. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is David.
David?
Yes.
What would it be?
Actually, Haney might remember this. It was the old R2-D2. It came out in the late 90s, I want to say. And it would actually move around, make noise, and project a little light for Princess Leia's message.
No, that's beyond my time. My stuff was from 77, 78.
Yeah, the original stuff. And that's what I'm told. I'm not a warzy, so I don't know
but
that.
But you're not a Trekkie either.
No, I'm not.
Are you anything?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
What are you?
Well, I'm not those. I'm not a Marvy comic book collector either.
But you're something.
Yeah, I like fine art.
So you're an artie?
I have sports memorabilia. I have some memorabilia. I have some art memorabilia.
I have a lot of Stan and Haney memorabilia. And
I got a lot of that. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, it's Keith in Naples.
Keith, what was it? If you could go back to that young Keith's bedroom and take one thing out of there to have today, what would it be?
Well, I have a large family with seven brothers, and me and my twin, our bedroom, we had twin beds, and in the corner sat basically, you know, like a big old console. Almost like a dresser, but it had an AM/FM radio on.
Nice.
In it.
Oh yeah,
it
piece
was
of
sweet,
furniture.
Man.
Yep.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah, that's, you know what? And Haney and I have talked about that a lot. The TVs that you bought, the living room stereo system, all pieces of furniture. Nice mahogany, wood, oak. That was meant to just be a piece of furniture.
My Grammy would always try to give me things under the assumption that she was going to die. And I didn't like thinking about it, so I would never accept anything. But she had one of those where it was a record player in the middle,
yep.
Big speakers and all that, and everything would close up.
Yep.
And I didn't take it.
Meant to be kept for years.
And unfortunately, when people pass away, if you're not right there,
the vultures will come in.
the vultures come in, and even worse, they'll just toss stuff.
Yep. There was when my grandmother passed away, and they were cleaning out her Weathersfield, Connecticut home, full of original Art Deco stuff, because that's when she bought the house, back in the 30s. And was my two sisters that went back up north to either donate or box up stuff. And I said, don't forget these lamps. Don't forget these. We saved you the National Geographics. What? Where'd the rest go? Goodwill. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Mike. Mike, Fort Myers Beach.
Mike, Fort Myers Beach. What would you take out of the bedroom?
I actually kept it. It was a Mickey Mantle signed baseball.
Worth a lot now, if you can authenticate it. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Tom V.
Tom, if you went back to that bedroom of yours as a kid, what's the one thing you'd take out of there?
I did it. I still have all my record albums from the time I got my first album. I got 400 records, man, and a turntable.
What was your first record you bought?
My first record that I got was Black Sabbath, Paranoid.
Yeah, I got the Black Sabbath with the Green Witch on the cover.
Oh, I don't know which one that is, man.
Right on.
I think it's the first one.
Yeah. One more, and then we got to take a break. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. It's Izzy.
Izzy?
Hey. Yes.
What? Tell me, Izzy, what would you like out of that bedroom?
I had a Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse lamp set from the early 60s.
And
original.
And what happened? Got thrown out? Did you break it?
Actually, the little light started falling apart on top of the almost aluminum foil holds the light together.
Mm-hmm.
Made everything just start falling apart.
Izzy, generations, different important things. If you don't mind me asking, Izzy, how old of a gentleman are you?
I'm 48.
Oh, geez, you're younger than I thought.
Yeah. You don't know him?
No.
I thought everybody knew him.
Knew Izzy?
Izzy Iskowitz? Yeah.
If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy at StanandHaney.com. We'll be back. Mark Haney in the news is next. 96 K-Rock.
96 K-Rock.
Hurt? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's safe? All.
Can you repeat the question?
Is it safe?
Can you read the last question again?
Is it safe?
Can you repeat the question just to make certain that I have it accurate?
Is it safe?
Can you repeat the last part of that question?
Is it safe?
You're going to have to repeat that for me.
Is it safe?
Can you repeat the question, sir?
Is it safe?
I'm sorry, can you start it again?
That hurt.
And what was the question, sir, if I might?
You should take better care of your teeth. You have quite a cavity here.
I apologize.
Is it safe?
Then could you repeat it?
Oh, please don't worry. I'm not going into that cavity.
Pardon me?
That nerve's already dying. A live, freshly cut nerve is infinitely more sensitive.
I'm sorry, could you again repeat the question?
So, I'll just drill into a healthy tooth until I reach the pulse. Unless, of course, you can tell me that it's safe.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that one?
Knew nothing.
Just like my grandpa used to say. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Yeah, I don't think he knows anything.
He knew nothing.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to this program. Mark Haney and the news coming up. In just a second, we'll get you updated on traffic. Rob Show tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's get you updated for your drive home this afternoon. Yeah, I'm telling you, the rain that has been coming by, and this morning, well, later on in the morning, I was coming into work, coming down in buckets. And so one of the radio guys that's new here, because we cut out a lot of dead weight here a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that, and there are some new hires around here, and they're not from this area. They're from other states. And they're looking at this, and they're amazed by the amount of lightning and rain that we here in Florida get.
It frightens people.
And it's, yeah. I had to explain to one person that Florida's the lightning capital of the world. And people get struck by lightning here all the time. And he said, well, it's not safe, you know, because sometimes.
Is it safe?
It's safe. You see a lightning show. He says, is it safe to go outside and watch the lightning? I said, you work here at Beasley. You don't need to worry about going outside and wondering if it's safe to watch the lightning. It'll come right into your studio. It'll come right. What? I said, where you're broadcasting from right now, Sonny, is the original Studio 1A here at Broadcast House. That's where Haney and I spent many, many years broadcasting out of that studio. I said, you would see arcs coming through that studio. And I said, my partner actually got hit by lightning in the studio. No, he did. I said he did.
It happened more than once.
The bolt came, this while you were doing the news, came through the window, went into one, you must have been grounded perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it went in one earphone cup, a flash, like a camera flash, went off. On the air, you heard just a crackle, and then it came out the other side of your headphone. And you didn't miss a beat, and I'm standing there going, are you okay? It came through the window, went into his headphone, light lit up in the back of his head, came out the other end.
Didn't affect me because I didn't see it, but Stan was horrified.
I was like, I can't believe what I just saw. What are you talking about? I said, you were just hit by lightning.
I'm fine.
And I go and tell the engineer, there's lightning coming into this. What are you talking about? It's grounded. You see all the copper and it's grounded. I said, well, there's a weak spot somewhere.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's obviously not something you want to go through. But I have to say, over the years, I've learned to deal with the superpowers and I use them for good.
Yeah. I'll never forget it. You could actually see the line of the lightning go into your ear cup. Little poof. And Haney was like, what are you talking about? I said, we went back and listened to the tape.
And you can hear it.
And you could hear it. Wasn't loud, wasn't disturbing. It was just a little crackle. And at that moment of the crackle was when the back of your head was lighting up.
Like a halo.
Yep. It was like a halo. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, one thing showing up this half hour on the board. It is in North Fort Myers. It is a crash. North Tamiami Trail and Brooks Road. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is the Evening News.
I'm Jerry King.
Meester and Barbara Walters, who is in California. Also, Frank Reynolds and Howard
Kaye. You'll hear Jerry King on the phone.
I'm Ann Compton.
I'm Charles Gibson.
I'm Jerry King.
Hear that?
I'm Barbara Walters.
Hi, I'm Garrett Gutley, and you're listening to Southwest.
That ain't lightning. That's inferior equipment. And I will not start this newscast until it plays properly.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
No.
I have to wait for Stan's signal.
Yep. Let's try to...
I couldn't just start it now.
No, you couldn't hear. Hello.
Hi, I'm Garrett Gutley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchor.
There we go.
Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, July 25th.
Double MXIX.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know. Most of us in life today.
In life today.
Yes. Yep. It could be.
Today's life.
It could be at work. Yeah. It could be at home.
It could be at play.
Indeed. We will have to interact with a device that plugs into a USB port.
Yep.
The guy who invented USB, his intention was that it would be flippable, meaning pretty much no matter how you plugged it in, it would work.
Well, somebody didn't listen to him.
They didn't, because they explained to the inventor that would double the cost of your product, so we got what we got. USB devices that only plug in one way and somehow always the opposite of the first try.
Every time.
I know where Trump needs to go now.
Where?
There is one country in Central America that has never, ever gotten a visit from a U.S. president.
I got no idea.
Belize. No U.S. president has ever gone to Belize. And, of course, that goes back to when it was British Honduras.
Yeah, not even on vacation.
And nobody knows why. Always had good relations.
Yeah.
Just never happened. Beautiful place. You know, you did something to me several years ago where you pointed out the nature of time, and you used the example of when we started out in radio, because we've been on the air for so long, if we were to go back when we started in radio to someone who started in radio that many years ago when we were new.
Yep.
That would have been people that were starting in radio in 1956.
Oh, it goes back farther than that, right after the war in the 40s.
Oh, it keeps getting further.
Wait, let's see right now. We both started in 1982. That was the first time that we went on the air. Now, today is 2019, so you go 2019 minus 1982. And that equals 37 years in the radio business.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
We're getting close to 40.
So you take 1982 and you minus 37 years. So let's say in 1982 when we started, we had already been in the business 37 years. That would take us to, 1945. That was our first job after the big one.
So this is kind of similar.
So we'd be seeing somebody in the radio station in 1982. Oh, that's the old guy down there. Oh, yeah? When'd you start in the business? 1945. That's how it would be.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm still me. You're still you.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
But something similar here. The Jetsons came out 57 years ago in 1962. The Jetsons was set in 2062, which is 43 years from now.
We got a lot of catching up.
Before we get to Jetsons level stuff? Yeah. So we are much closer to the future it predicted than the year it came out.
Yep. I don't see
it. We're closer to 2062 than we are to 1962.
We sure are.
That is disturbing.
Yeah.
You know, in the United States, we have some pretty high mountains. Pretty big mountains.
Yeah. I know Washington State.
You think that's where the biggest mountain is?
No, I don't think that that's where the biggest mountain is in the United States, or what we call it, the 50 states.
Where do you think the biggest mountain is?
I think Alaska has the biggest mountain.
All right, let's say Alaska is number one. Where would the rest of the big mountains be?
Washington State, maybe Oregon.
Completely wrong.
What?
The 10 highest mountains in the United States are all in Alaska.
See, I got it right.
The 11th highest is Mount Whitney in California.
Would not have guessed that.
Me neither. That's why I did it.
Mount Whitney.
You know, we've done an okay job so far in paying tribute to the great Rutger Hauer. And much like everyone else, we focused on his absolutely brilliant work in Blade Runner. We can all agree on that.
I liked him in Nighthawks.
He was in many movies, but few mention his masterwork.
What was that?
In my opinion. And I can't believe that I forgot this, but it must be acknowledged. If you would like to remember Rutger Hauer properly, again, Blade Runner, that's obviously very good work, but his masterstroke was a film that I love and will love forever. Rutger Hauer was Hobo with a Shotgun.
I remember that.
The surprisingly tender, ultra-violent story of a drifter who gives up his dream of buying a secondhand lawnmower to start a landscaping business and instead scrapes up enough money panhandling to purchase a shotgun and single-handedly cleans up one of the most crime-riddled cities in cinematic history. Hobo with a Shotgun. Brilliance.
We talked about it when it came out.
We sure did.
Hobo with a Shotgun.
That is his finest hour.
I agree.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Because of the overwhelming success, Jason and Todd are going to end the month of July just as they began it, with the fireworks of 5 years interest-free financing. Visit the Diamond District now through the end of July and take advantage of 5 years interest-free financing. If you purchase beautiful 2-carat total weight diamond stud earrings for $6,000, your monthly payment would only be $99 per month. Maybe it's time to purchase that diamond ring or bracelet you've always wanted for $2,500. Your payment would only be $42 per month and zero interest for 5 years. Now is the perfect time to visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. With the largest selection of gorgeous fashion jewelry, more GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida, and over 3,000 engagement rings to choose from, all with 5 years interest-free financing now through the end of July. You simply won't find a better diamond buying experience than with the Diamond District.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, every once in a while, I like to do something for the kids.
Yep, that's the way you are.
And if there's one thing the kids love, it is British supergroup One Direction. And, of course, the kids were heartbroken when One Direction broke up. That was their Beatles.
Well, of course.
And now, Britain's rarely reliable Mirror tabloid has a big expose on what really broke up One Direction.
Oh, the horrible secret.
Now, they cite several factors, including drugs and rivalries within the band.
Oh, yeah.
But the big one?
Yeah.
The one that really did him in? They say it was gay fan fiction. Homosexual fan fiction that really split the band apart.
I believe it.
Specifically, it drove a wedge, this gay fan fiction, between Harry Styles and Lewis Tomlinson. Perhaps you've heard of Larry Stileson. Well, that's shorthand for homosexual fan fiction that depicts Harry and Lewis as passionate lovers. Supposedly, it was a bridge too far for Harry and Lewis. They couldn't take the gay fan fiction anymore.
Put a wedge right between them.
And, of course, when the HBO series Euphoria had the nerve,
the
unmitigated gall, to air an animated sex scene between the two of them, Lewis felt compelled to issue a statement making clear that he was not contacted, nor did he approve the homosexual animation. So, I'm sorry to tell you, you have your answer, courtesy of the Mirror. Gay fan fiction destroyed One Direction.
Thank you, Henny, for passing that along.
You're welcome, Stan. It'll get better, kids. Dateline, Deltona, Florida.
Well, yeah.
A 59-year-old woman named Migdalia Cruz recently won $20,000 on a scratch-off ticket.
Good for her.
And she took her 39-year-old son, Luis, with her. Or is it Luis? I'm sorry, Luis, probably. Took her 39-year-old son with her to claim the money on Tuesday. What a happy day for the Cruz family. $20,000,
yeah.
Pennies from heaven.
Problem's gone.
Must have been a great day. But it wasn't. Just hours after winning $20,000, they were both arrested on drug charges.
Yeah, I see him right there.
Right after they got home, police showed up with a warrant and the son had three bags of heroin and fentanyl on him.
Jeez. What the hell? They look the same age.
Well, it would appear they may have used their winnings to invest in drugs, but it does seem that they were already well on police radar for dealing. Police found more drugs when they searched the home and arrested both of them. Another random woman who was not a big winner was arrested. Mama was released on $5,000 bail. The son being held on a $36,000 bond. If you do the math, that's well over 20 grand.
Yeah, over budget.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, Dateline Holly Hill, Florida. There is a man named Keelix Moon. He's 21. And he broke into a house in Holly Hill on Monday morning. And it was quite a haul. He stole a scooter, a skateboard, and one sweet weed eater.
Something like Dave would do.
Even got into a brief altercation with the man who lived there. When the police came to that home, Keelix was already gone, but he did leave behind one clue only, but it was a big one.
What did he leave behind?
He left behind a room key to the Twi-Light Motel.
One floor.
When officers inserted the key into the door of room number 9, there was Keelix.
Yeah.
He was arrested for burglary, grand theft, and battery.
Yeah, looking at him, you could have fooled me. Seems like an upstanding citizen.
Yeah, sure. Same with those last two.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know passing them on the street, would you? And that's the news for today, Thursday, July 25th.
Little Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, Little Mucky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We thank them. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
Beautiful beaches, world-class golf, and all the five-star amenities you've come to expect from the only radio show you can truly trust with all your financial retirement needs. Okay, that's for Collier. Let's do Lee. We can readily recommend a full-service bail bonds agency with over 50 years of experience. On call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or we could just go with, thanks for listening, Suncoast Estates. And we didn't forget you, Pine Manor. Essay or Holmes, whichever you prefer. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Thank you for spending the afternoon with us. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock. Big Friday show tomorrow. That means somebody that, you know, what a breath of fresh air. Haven't seen Dave the Waterman all week. And he's going to come in tomorrow and sit on that duff of his and do nothing. Is there anything he's capable of doing now? He's too fragile with the stomach.
Well,
he's too weak with having to do like some kind of adventure.
I don't know, but he was supposed to be here today. He has errands to run. I don't know where he is.
You know, he's off in his own world. Off in his...
Well, no, he's not off. I think he's off getting yelled at by somebody else.
Well, yeah.
That's his whole life is getting yelled at.
Well, he made his bed.
He's a good boy.
He is not. He's not.
Why do you say
he's up to something? If you don't see him around here, he's up to something. I know him like a book. We'll see if he even shows up tomorrow. I'll bet you I'll get a phone call. I can't make it today, brah. I'll say, okay.
No, he wouldn't miss tomorrow.
I'll say, happy day.
He wouldn't miss tomorrow.
Let's find out. We'll see. I'm counting on it.
Now, let's see rock traffic.
Let's get ourselves updated on traffic. Couple of things on the board. Crash, Fort Myers, Plantation Road, and Daniels Parkway. I'm going home. Let's get that cleaned up. Crash, Bonita Springs, I-75 northbound at mile marker 117. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, but I'm a man. No, I am. It's easier to be a guy, really. I mean, there's sexism, but just the day-to-day life of being a woman, honestly, it looks too hard. Just hair, what a woman has to deal with hair, with cut and color and goos and potions. It's like, what does a guy have to do with his hair? Not have a mullet. That's all a guy has to do, is not have a mullet, A plus. And yet there's still some guys that can't pull that off.
They're not talking about my mullet, are they?
It's easier to be a guy. Makeup, women wear makeup. Most guys don't even wash their hands. You see it in public restrooms, like, where are you going? They're like, I'm not serving food here. A bra, an extra piece of clothing? I think women shouldn't wear bras, and then they should jog by my apartment. Because I'm a feminist like Beyonce.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Can we please have some laughter? I'm tired of the pain. 4 o'clock fluffer time, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
You know, Stan has taught me many things.
I've tried.
And one of those things has to do with real estate. When you're doing a real estate transaction, you're going to need a real estate agent.
Yes.
And according to Stan's little book of wisdom, you always hire the real estate agent that is pictured on a bench. If they've got their picture on a bench, that's the one you go with.
Yeah. You feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
All right, I already seen him. I think I can work with that person.
It's a very important decision. Yeah. Don't leave it to chance.
Yep.
Listen to Stan.
Look at a picture.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
signs you hired a bad real estate agent.
Top signs you've hired a bad real estate agent.
He pronounces it realtor. He represents a firm called Coldwell Wanker. You thought she said, I'm going to show you a fixer-upper, when in reality she said, I need my fix of uppers. Can't do any advertising due to outstanding warrants. Points out the backyard has plenty of room for a pool, a swing set, and a series of shallow graves. Shows you the master bathroom after leaving a floater in the toilet.
Oh. I didn't like that one.
When showing a home, he points out what he thinks are the best spots in each room to have relations.
Laugh it up.
After assessing your needs and your budget, she asks, how do you feel about tiny homes? It's the latest thing, you know.
I know, tiny home, can't do it.
And finally, the top sign, you hired a bad real estate agent.
Yes.
Remember, this is a professional. You got to listen to him. You want to sell this house?
Yeah.
You listen to me.
Yeah.
He says you need ambiance. So he adds candles, soft jazz, and whores. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Left the building.
You know, it's a weird business because part of their job is they have to bake cookies or fresh bread.
Yeah. Candles and cookies make the house smell like a home. Email.
Somebody's home.
Yeah.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.